who kill livestock. They have killed pigs and eaten, taken pigs with them. Many farmers have reported that their livestock is missing. There has been found partially eaten, or animals have been found later partially eaten. So they do have sufficient food, whether they're here or in Ohio or anywhere down. I can really speak mostly for the Pacific Northwest. They have tons of food to eat.
And you mentioned rodents earlier. You mentioned rodents earlier.
And rodents. So that's another thing. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, there have been cases where they have been seen actually digging through rocks and obtaining rodents. That's actually what they're called as ground squirrels, hibernating ground squirrels, which is one of their favorite foods, apparently. And they actually go down to the squirrels go down to these big rock piles. You've seen in the mountains rocks that sort of tumble down, and they form like tons of rocks all over the place. Well, they dig down in these rocks, and they actually dig the rocks out and stack them. We actually have photographs of rocks that are stacked quite high. They didn't end up that way naturally, and human beings didn't stack them. And Sasquatch have been observed digging holes, pulling out the rocks, smelling the rocks, and stacking them, and then going down and taking out ground squirrels and eating them.
Wow.
So that has happened, and I have a full account of that in the book, actually. Sounds it's like one of the main sightings that we've had seen of Sasquatch, you know, foraging for food.
And that reminds me of a girl I used to date. Hey, we're going to go back to the phones, but it's the top of the hour. Let me remind you that you're listening to WAIF, 88.3 FM, Cincinnati, Ohio's public radio alternative. We're talking to Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy is an expert and a researcher in the topic of Bigfoot. We've been talking for about 40 minutes now about Bigfoot. We have open phone lines, and if you'd like to call in, the phone number here is 961-8900. That's 513-961-8900. Is this guy ready?
Yeah.
You sure? Hello, you're on the air, Jim.
Yeah, I was very interested to hear about the Ohio sightings, because let me tell you a story about a couple of years back where we were in Indiana. We were down, we thought for a while we were going to try to get to where the Ohio and the Wabash, you know, down in the point of Indiana, and we never quite got there, but we went in some back road motels and stuff somewhere to the west of Evansville, I guess. But anyway, we were at the very small motel. And we went out, and we were partying out in the woods behind the motel and kind of across this creek.
Hold on, Jim. You were partying?
Well, just had some beers.
Okay, you were having some beers and partying.
But, I mean, nothing to where I didn't know what was going on. Well, anyway, we heard this scream or yelp or something. It wasn't really like a scream. It was like a call. And running through there was a cornfield on the back side of the woods. And for me, the thing about it was I heard something running. It wasn't a gallop like four hooves or anything. It was definitely a two-footed thing. And I also think it had to be very big. Well, anyway, it was kind of scary. And the next morning, the guy that ran the motel, he said, well, that's the Indiana Hoosier. And I was like, well, what's the Indiana Hoosier? And he said, well, it's a Bigfoot that's down here. I was wondering if there are any other reports like that, because I hadn't heard anything like that, and I actually searched online. I hadn't seen anything about the Indiana Hoosier. But to me, again, I don't think it was human what I heard, and I also distinctly heard, you know, the running of a two-footed animal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't heard of that term, Hoosier, but anyway, lots of reports like that in Ohio, and it's because of all of the farms, basically the corn farms, a lot of corn in Ohio, and this is a favorite food of these things. So many, many reports of Bigfoots in cornfields, and I mean, it's amazing just how many there are. Now, people who have gone out into the woods like you did, or into the areas that you did, and have tried to play these little tricks where they take a piece of wood, a plank, and beat on a tree and see if they get a reply, because that's apparently what Bigfoot do. They beat on a tree with a branch. This is some kind of a signal. Four young fellows went out, I guess about last year sometime, tried this, and they were surprised because two Bigfoot came out and stood right in front of them. They were scared to hell, and they ran back. One fellow wrote it up, sent a testimony to me as to what had happened. They beat on an empty or on a stump with a stick, and they got a reply. They figured, oh, well, they kept doing it. Next thing you know, there were two Sasquatch standing right in front of them. And it's, I've written this up in the new book, Quest for the Grassman.
Wow. So good thing you didn't have a stick to beat on a tree with, Jim.
I guess so.
What, Jim, try
again,
next time you go out there.
It was kind of a strange-sounding thing, but...
Yeah, well, give it a whirl, Jim. Next time you're out in the woods by yourself there, beat on a tree trunk with a good heavy stick and see what happens. See if you get a reply.
Sure, and I'd just like to say, I mean, again, we have no way to ascertain what it was because I didn't get a visual on the thing here, but if that thing's in Ohio, it sounds like it might also be in Indiana here.
Oh,
yes,
he's in
there's
Indiana.
Lots of Indiana, too. There's quite a number of sightings in Indiana. Matter of fact, there's sightings in just about every state except for Hawaii. Lots in Alaska, by the way. And I do list down in the book, Meet the Sasquatch, what I have determined to be a reasonable number of sightings in each state in the United States and each Canadian province.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Sure, thank you.
Well, Chris Murphy of Vancouver, British Columbia, Bigfoot researcher, the name of the new book is Meet the Sasquatch. Now, we generally think of Sasquatch as being almost a mountainous kind of guy because, I guess, the Washington area in America and the west coast of Canada seem to be where the most Bigfoot activity is. But you mentioned they love cornfields. So do they come to the plains of America where there aren't really any hills or mountains or anything? It's just flat, but there's plenty of corn. Do they have Bigfoot in Nebraska and Iowa and Kansas?
Oh, yes, of course. They got them all over. Nebraska, got to give me your N-E. Okay,
N-E for Nebraska.
Yeah, there's been about six there, okay? And where are we looking now? Okay,
Kansas.
Wyoming, 21.
Okay, Wyoming. Okay.
Wyoming, South Dakota, 9. These are ones that I've come up with. There are more than this, but these are what I consider to be, you know, reasonably. And probably over the last 30 to 50 years, right? Indiana, 21, and Ohio, of course, has got a lot, 95. Ohio, I think, is fifth or sixth. British Columbia would be first, followed by California, followed by Washington, followed by Oregon, and then Florida. And then after that would come Ohio. So you see how high Ohio is on the list. And then Colorado, 60. And all the other states, Texas has got 63, so Texas is also a very big state for sightings. Louisiana, 24. New York, even. New York State. They got 53 in New York.
Well,
there's still quite a few.
Chris, let me ask you a skeptical question here.
Mm-hmm.
If there's this many sightings in the state of Ohio, and most of our listeners know pretty much the lay of the land in Ohio, it's a very populated state. There's a lot of cities, and in between the cities, there's a lot of small towns. So there's people everywhere, except for a few little state parks. There's not any big swatches of forest in Ohio.
Well, no, Ohio's got the Wayne National Forest and a couple of other pretty big forests.
Except for those. But if Ohio is as populated as it is, why haven't there been more legitimate and sightings of Bigfoot where they could be either photographed or some other way, you know, proven to be actual Bigfoots? Because, like, in Ohio, we got deer walking up and down the street all the time, and the wildlife is just pouring into the cities because the cities are growing faster than they can eliminate the wildlife. So why don't we have more actual sightings in Ohio that are legitimate?
Well, we have a lot of sightings in Ohio. The thing is, though, for every sighting...
How come one hasn't turned up
in... There's probably 10 that aren't reported.
But why hasn't someone found one in their backyard in their swimming pool or something?
People have reported them in their backyard, but people just don't report because they don't like to be ridiculed. We figure it's probably at least 10 or 20 to 1. For every sighting that's reported, there's 20 that aren't reported.
Where on the intelligence scale would a Bigfoot come? Would it be... is a Bigfoot smarter than a pig? Smarter than a dolphin? Is it smart as a monkey?
It's a difficult question because the number one thing that really amazes me is the fact that the creature does not use fire, okay? To our knowledge, Sasquatch or Bigfoot do not use fire. So that kind of puts them in the animal kingdom. There are no animals that use fire except, of course, human beings. Whether it is intelligent enough to use fire and doesn't do it, course, naturally, if it did, we would find it quite easily. Or whether it doesn't know how to use fire is the question. I would say, personally, that it's fairly intelligent, like a regular gorilla or chimpanzee up in that area, right?
Right.
Maybe even more so intelligent. But I don't know. I don't know. None of us know.
Are there any legends of, because it's always shocking when you hear about people eating gorillas and chimpanzees. Are there any stories of the Native Americans eating Sasquatches?
I've never heard of them eating it. There's many stories of seeing it, though. Tons. They're all over the place. They go back thousands of years. I even have in the museum what are called the stone heads, and these are heads carved some 3,000 years ago, which depict ape-like creatures. Now, 3,000 years ago, what kind of apes did the Indians or native people see up here in British Columbia or other places? There were no monkeys, and there were no monkeys coming in from other areas either. The only explanation could be that maybe some of them may have transmigrated down into South America and brought back a monkey from there, and then the Indians used it for their art. But there are the Indian stone heads, and as I say, they look like apes. And anthropologists say they are definitely depictions of ape-like creatures in North America. So where did the Indians get their ideas from? There's no records, as far as I know, of Indians killing a Sasquatch, although there could be. I just haven't seen them, and nor of capturing them. They kind of revere it as kind of a religious symbol. As a matter of fact, some of the artifacts that I wanted to put in the Vancouver Museum, I had to get the Indians' approval to put these artifacts in there, their masks and things like that. And some of them did not want me to put their stuff in the museum because they say that they hold what they might call the mountain monkeys in reverence. And they say, we don't think it's appropriate for you to put our artifacts in an exhibit of that nature. Now, there you are. They do sort of hold the creature to be somewhat sacred. Now, I've gone up into Bella Coola, which is a very remote area in British Columbia, which is a lot of native people. I've talked to the native people up there. They all firmly believe in the creature. They tell me they see it. They tell me that they hear it. And I say to them, why didn't you take some pictures? And they say, what for? And I said, we believe just because you want pictures to prove to you, that's your problem. We don't have to have a picture, you know. That's what they say. And I say, well, you could make some money. You could get some pictures and make some money on this. They're not interested in that. There we are, Chris.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF, and we're going to wrap this up in a couple of seconds, but not too soon to take another call from you, the listener. So if you'd like to call in and talk to our guest, Chris Murphy, about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Momo, Grassman, Skunk Ape, Yeti, whatever you call them, give us a call now at 513-961-8900. Again, that's 961-8900.
We kind of hinted around a little bit about it, Mr. Murphy, but say Jim and Chris and I, we had a couple of takeout orders of Allen's Jambalaya, and we had a 12-pack of beer, and we wanted to go sit in the woods and attract a Bigfoot or to see a Bigfoot. We finally wanted to get you, Chris Murphy, the photographic evidence so we could make a bunch of money and become famous. What in the world would you do besides hit a stump with a stick? Is that all you do to get a Bigfoot?
Well, that's happened a few times that people have done that, and they've got replies. They can also hit two rocks together as well. That is another way of doing it, okay? Clacking rocks out in the woods, because Bigfoot do clack rocks. But more often, they beat on a tree with a branch. Those are two ways of signaling. Other than that, now the way we got the Skookum cast, you've heard of the Skookum cast that was taken in Washington, where the creature came along and sat down in some mud, and we took a cast of where it sat.
Of its butt?
Of its butt. It's a butt cast, also its arm and its foot. It dug its heel in, and of course, the anthropologists have looked at that cast, and they have declared that it is of some unknown primate other than a man. It's just called the Skookum cast. And what they did is they put fruit out near some in sort of mud, light dirt mud, if you know what I mean, and a sort of a pile of apples, good old grade A Washington apples. And when they came back, something came along. They were expecting it to step and get good footprints out of the mud, but it didn't do that. It came up to the mud, saw the the apples or whatever and other fruit in the middle, and it sort of sat down, dug its heel into the ground, and reached over with its long arm and took the fruit and sort of repositioned itself a few times. So you've got its butt, its thigh, its elbow, its knee, its heel, and different impressions. And when the guys came and saw these impressions and sorted them out, they quickly, a guy by the name of Rick Knoll, went and got 200 pounds of plaster, and he made a cast, which is called the Skookum cast, of these imprints. He then invited in John Green and all the anthropologists that we know, Darris Swindler and Esteban Sarmiento, all of these great guys to come in and have a look at this thing, right? And they all, including Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, and this is all on tape, right? They looked at it and declared that they felt it was the cast of something, a primate, other than a human being, especially the heel, where it dug its heel in to sort of get leverage. It's a very large, perfect heel and back of the leg, much bigger than a human heel. And I have some of this on display down at the museum.
So fruit and beaten on a tree.
So you might want to put some fruit out.
Well, Chris Murphy, the name of the new book is Meet the Sasquatch. And
Hancock House Publishers. All you have to do is go to the net and plug in Meet the Sasquatch, and you will see exactly where it is available if anybody wants to get it.
And if you're in the Vancouver, British Columbia region of Canada, stop into the Vancouver, British Columbia Museum, and there we'll see some of the handiwork of Chris Murphy and all the different artifacts and stuff that you got there about Sasquatch.
That is right. It's the biggest exhibit, I believe, of most artifacts that have ever come. They will not come together again. I've got Robert Bateman's paintings. I've got originals of just about everything there. The original Cripplefoot casts, things like that, which I doubt will ever come out into the public again.
But when the new book, Quest for the Grassman, Bigfoot in Ohio, comes out, we want to talk again to our old friends Kloppman and Klaper.
Yeah, well, let me add, prior to that is coming out the Bigfoot film controversy, which is Roger Patterson's, a reprint of Roger Patterson's original book, and I've added 50 pages to it telling you more things about that film. That will be coming out in probably the spring.
Wow.
So there's two more coming out on the subject.
Hey, Chris, what's the plural of Bigfoot? Is it Bigfoots or is it Big Feet?
In I'm trying, in all the books I write, Bigfoot is singular and plural. It's like fish or deer. I saw one deer, I saw two deer. I saw one Bigfoot, I saw two Bigfoot.
Okay, a little while ago I heard you say Big Feet.
Yeah, I might trip up every now and then, but I try. Okay. I sometimes say Bigfoot. It's wrong, really. What? Nothing is wrong.
And is the word Bigfoot both masculine and feminine?
It is. Just the same as deer and others, horse.
Is
right?
It Sasquatch or Sasquatch?
Like horse. You would have to say male Sasquatch, female Sasquatch. Oh. And I don't capitalize the word because Yeti is not capitalized, right? A lot of people say you should capitalize Sasquatch, Bigfoot. Well, look in the dictionary, collegiate dictionary, where they don't capitalize Yeti. So if we're not going to capitalize Yeti, we are not going to capitalize Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
I'm glad you asked.
Well, I'm going to continue to capitalize it out of respect.
Chris, you can expect a call from us later because we are going to want to talk to you this summer when the Quest for the Grassman comes out. Thanks for your generous time tonight and for taking all of our calls, even from the idiots.
My pleasure.
You got it.
Thank you very
much. Happy hunting. Thank
you. Bye-bye now.
Take off.
Now, that was Chris Murphy talking about Bigfoot and all the research that he's been doing. And what do you say, Rob? Let's just give Bigfoot a call.
Sure, why not?
I mean, why should we talk about Bigfoot when we can just call him up?
We should do that. Perhaps one of our Indiana friends.
So let's call Bigfoot in Indiana, and I think our producer Jim is going to dial up Bigfoot for us, and then we're just going to call him up and say hello to him.
And we'll just talk to him and find out what he eats.
Yeah.
Find out, you know, where we can find him. Why does he like the beating on the stump with the branch? Mm-hmm. You know, why does that go on?
This is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF Radio. It's 17 minutes after 11.
More Yasser Arafat music to come, too.
Right. Like I said, this is Chris and Rob, and we're going to call Bigfoot right now. In fact, we're furiously, our producer is dialing up Bigfoot. You're probably thinking, yeah, well, Chris and Rob, we're going to call Bigfoot?
It's going to be one of the reactor buddies.
Yeah. No, we're going to call the real Bigfoot. We're calling him up.
8 feet tall, 600 to 700 pounds. That's what we're talking about with the Bigfoot.
The phone's ringing at Bigfoot's.
Mm-hmm. We're going to call his house.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Bigfoot. He's just regular Bigfoot in Indiana. He's a grass man in Ohio, but he's Bigfoot in Indiana.
Right.
Or the Indiana Hoosier, they sometimes call him. We'll call him Bigfoot, though, out of respect. Capital B. Turns out when Bigfoot's watching the news, don't call.
I guess so.
He's watching this rerun of The Simpsons. And Bigfoot's not taking the call because it's a Simpsons he hasn't seen before. And Bigfoot has a fax machine now.
Apparently.
He's a very high-tech Bigfoot. He's got a fax machine.
Unbelievable. Only on the Chris and Rob show could we screw up a phone call to Bigfoot.
Can we call Bigfoot's fax machine?
We'll send Bigfoot a fax. It'll be a big fax. Hey, are you going to try to dial the right number this time?
We'll send Bigfoot a fax.
All right, Big Jim's dialing another number to get a hold of Bigfoot.
Fortunately, Bigfoot has a lot of different numbers.
Yeah, we must have called his fax machine by accident.
Right, he's like a celebrity. You know how celebrities are, they like 8 different phone numbers.
Hey, did I say that this is the Chris and Rob show on WAIF?
I don't know if you did or not, and I'm Rob.
Okay, we're going to call Bigfoot.
Here we go. Call him Bigfoot in Indiana.
Okay, we're calling Bigfoot again on the Chris and Rob show.
Nashville Bigfoot.
Hi, is this Bigfoot?
Is this the Nashville Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Good.
How much is a pack of smokes?
Like what brand?
Burroughs.
They'd be $354.
Now, you're the Nashville Bigfoot?
Right.
How tall are you?
Why?
Well, we've had reports of the Nashville Bigfoot, and we want to confirm that this is the Nashville Bigfoot.
Who is this?
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we've been wanting to call Bigfoot all night long.
We're looking for the Nashville Bigfoot. Is this the Nashville Bigfoot?
Yes.
How much is a gallon of gas?
$1.97.
Wow. Man, it's cheaper than that.
It's a tourist town. Nashville's a tourist town, isn't it?
Do you see a lot of country music in Nashville there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how tall are you?
Like 5'3".
So the
that's a short Bigfoot.
The Nashville Bigfoot's only 5'3".
That's almost as short as the Yeti. The Yeti's a little shorter than Bigfoot.
Right. What you're about a skunk ape sized. And what size is your shoe?
Why?
Well, Bigfoot, you're the Bigfoot. We want to find out if the Nashville Bigfoot truly is a Bigfoot.
If it is in line with the national average of national Bigfoots.
The Nashville Bigfoot is very shy.
There's the Nashville Bigfoot for you. Here's a hit. Did you know, Rob, did you know that Yasser Arafat?
I didn't ask her weight.
No, you never even got to her weight.
I wasn't going to. I was trying to be a gentleman. She must have big feet.
That was one of those female Bigfoots.
She's 5'6", but she's got like 11s.
Yeah, so she's
clocking the 11s, and she doesn't want anybody to know it.
We're going
to
call Bigfoot again later, so stay tuned. Now, did you know?
The Nashville Bigfoot.
We're turning on a dime here, Rob. Did you know that Yasser Arafat, a few years ago, he recorded a song that was written by Hoyt Axton?
Really?
Yeah. Did you know Hoyt Axton was in that movie Gremlins?
Yeah, Don't Feed Him at Midnight.
Yeah, that's right. But you know much about it. Hoyt Axton also was in an episode of WKRP.
Della and the Dealer and the dog named Jake and a cat named Kalamazoo.
But was there a Bigfoot in that song?
And I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, here's a song that Yasser Arafat recorded that was originally written by Hoyt Axton. And when we come back...
No more.
When we come back, it'll be a big Chris and Rob tribute to the soon-to-be-dead Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, who will be dead, I'm sure, by the time we finish this program, if he's not already. God, we love you, Arafat. You know, we love you like our little Palestinian brother who never could get good grades in school. We love you like that, but still, we think you're going to die. So here's a song by Arafat, and when we come back...
I know just came from Colombia. She smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out some marijuana, huh-huh. She said it was the best in all the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find the door. A woman that I know just came from Mallorca, Spain. She smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out a 10-pound bag of cocaine. She said it was the finest in the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't. No more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please.
makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find the door. Came from Nashville, Tennessee, oh. He smiled because I did not understand. Then he held out some moonshine whiskey, oh. He said it was the best in all the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't drink it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find a door. Well, I said, no, 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 I can't take it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find a door.
Give Chris and Rob a call. East Devine Street, dial 749-1444. West Devine Street, call 749-1444. This is WAIF.
You know I make it all right.
I make it all right.
I'm from Monday morning to Friday night. But oh, those lonely weekends since you left me. You know I'm as lonely as a man can be. But oh, those lonely weekends. You said you'd be good to me. You said our love just couldn't die. And you said you'd be sweet to me. But baby, 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 you tried.
It was a lonely weekend there. That's performed by Joe Goldmark.
You know what's really good, Chris?
What?
Bowl of Allen's jambalaya.
Oh, I love that Allen's Cafe.
It's more than a cafe.
You got that jambalaya.
Where is that?
I think it's on 50 and Hogue, isn't it? Isn't it on 50?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think you know where it is.
It's at the corner of Route. Hey, let's just read the thing again.
Yes, it's at the corner of 50 and Hogue. You can go there if you want a tailgate. You can get some tailgating deliciousness.
It's Allen's Cafe. They provided food for tonight's.
You say we could get some tail there? Some alligator tail? They got cage-hole alligator over at Allen's Cafe.
They provided sustenance for tonight's volunteers, a part of the 2004 membership drive. Which, by the way, 961-8900, we'd love to hear from you if you want to make a pledge.
Say what?
It's Chris and Rob on WAIF. It is Fall 2004 Membership Drive. Please make a pledge at 961-8900, 961-8900. Bunch of different membership levels, fantastic premiums. It's all good at 961-8900. Call now, call often, Fall 2004 Membership Drive.
Allen's is more than a cafe at the corner of Columbia Parkway and Hogue Street there, one block east of Delta over on the east side of town. Allen's is open daily from 11:30 for lunch until 10, specializing in Cajun, Mexican, seafood, and steaks with a wine and beer shop, over 120 domestic and imported beers, and 300 wines by the bottle right there at the corner of Hogue Street and Columbia Parkway, one block east of the precinct. Check it out. Allen's Cafe, a big supporter of the Chris and Rob Show and WAIF.
And Yasser Arafat, not looking good at this point. At this juncture.
Yeah, I think he's going to die. He probably already did.
Well, they announced he was dead, then he announced he was dying.
You know what,
I'm
thinking he's on death's door, but they're collecting DNA because they're going to make a clone. A Palestinian clone.
Dude, Yasser Arafat's been leaving DNA all over the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
His beard's been falling out for years.
What are you looking at me like that for, Jim?
You going to keep trying on this guy?
What are you doing? What are you doing
Jim's
over there?
All hanged all
hey, Rob and I want to send a big shout out to the third Chris and Rob. There's Chris, and then there's Rob, then there's the third Chris and Rob. Kind of like Yoko was the fifth Beatle, right?
Exactly.
So there's the third Chris and Rob, and that's Big Jim. Big Jim answers the phone for us. When you call 513-749-1444, Big Jim is going to say...
What are you going to say, Jim?
Big Jim is going to say...
Hello, WAIF.
And then you're going to say, I want to talk to Chris and Rob, and Jim's going to say...
Take off, you hoser. No way. Click.
Well, he'll also take your pledge if you do that at 961-8900.
Oh, man.
All right.
We're
going to do a tribute to Yasser Arafat, even though it's the... he's not. You know who else we did a tribute to when they were still alive? Buck Owens. The only other person to ever get a tribute poem when they were still alive was Buck Owens.
And Buck's still alive.
And Buck is still alive. Now, Yasser Arafat, his wife says he's not dead, and his wife says he's playing Parcheesi and backgammon. Really? According to Mrs. Arafat, Yasser's there in the hospital, and he's slapping nurses on the ass. He's running around playing shuffleboard, that Yasser's doing fine and dandy. But others say that Yasser's in a deep, deep coma.
Now, for those in our listening audience who are youngsters who don't remember, who is Yasser Arafat and what role did he play in the Beatles?
He was the drummer.
Yeah,
he was. He was actually the last Beatle added to the combination that became famous. Mm-hmm. And he was also the oldest member of the Beatles. And he was very sick as a kid. That's why he never grew up to be real big, and that's why he was the shortest and the smallest of all the Beatles. He had mm-hmm. childhood ill. He had one illness after another.
Right, and because he wore so many rings on his finger, they call him Yasser Arafat.
Exactly.
His real name is Richard Starkey, but he wore rings on his fingers, and his real name was Richard Starkey, but they started calling him Yasser Arafat because he wore all these rings on his finger. And then when the Beatles made that movie Help, mm-hmm. you might remember that Yasser Arafat was shown in with a Middle Eastern headdress on.
All right.
And then ever since then, he's been the leader of the PLO, which stands for Palestinian Liberation Organization, and he killed a lot of Jews. Basically, he's been killing Jews ever since they made Help.
Paul, Linda, and Ono.
Yeah.
PLO.
The PLO. Paul, Linda, and Ono, did you say?
Yeah, I guess. PLO.
So whenever a famous celebrity dies or passes away.
Or gets into a deep, deep coma.
Rob writes a beatnik-style poem in honor of that individual. For example, who died a few weeks ago? You wrote a poem. A lot of big celebrities have been dying
Christopher
lately. Christopher Reeve died, and you wrote a beatnik poem, just like they used to do back in the Greenwich Village back in the 60s. They'd have a guy playing bongos and everybody be smoking their clove cigarettes, wearing their beret hats and their sunglasses indoors.
Unlax, dude.
Yeah. So, here's Rob, my co-host Rob, with a tribute poem to the great drummer of the Beatles and leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat.
Yasser Arafat, have you ever found any Bigfoot scat? Yasser Arafat? On a whoopee cushion, have you ever sat? Did it go? Yasser Arafat. Jews put him in a bad mood. Mohammed was his favorite dude. Who put Palestine where there is no crude? Oil, like Jed Clampett had. Yasser Arafat. Homeland and authority was his lingo. Grew a gray beard. Looked like Ringo. But did you ever smoke dope with Mickey Dolan, Yasser Arafat? I don't think so. Yasser Arafat could do what he want with a hat that was a tablecloth from an Italian restaurant. Plans for peace you had to abort. Why you got so much sand in your shorts? Yasser Arafat? Yasser Arafat.
Did you say Allah be praised or jumping Jehoshaphat? Asser Arafat? Is Felix your favorite cat? Did you do this or that? Have you ever seen a rat? Wipe your feet. Use the mat. Using pennies for a hemostat. Sharon's suit made him look really fat. Yasser Arafat? Yasser Arafat. Have some salami and bacon.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, be sure to stick around, because coming up at 2 a.m. right after Outside Inside Jazz, the Speak of Diablo, your overnight musical talk show. We feature contemptuous comedy, a lot of up-to-date news, humor, opinions, and a lot of strange phone calls. That's coming up at 2 a.m. right after Outside Inside Jazz. And now, back to Chris and Rob.
We got an issue in America. Too many good docs are getting out of business.
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
You people are a bunch of damn fools for re-electing that bastard. More people dead in Fallujah, not just Americans. What is the price of human life? You people have blood on your hands. All you so-called right-wing Christians who think that you are doing God's work by voting for Bush, we're actually doing Satan's bidding because more people are going to die. Your turn, Rob.
Somehow the war is not a moral issue. The only thing that's moral is homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What am I thinking?
War is not a moral issue.
Killing doesn't matter. No. Just got to do something about those gays.
That's all. That's what a moral issue is.
Good God almighty. What was I thinking?
Hey, it's membership drive. We'd love to hear from you. 961-8900, 961-8900. If you haven't given yet, give now. $50 letter opener clock. That's what you want to do. $50. Get the letter opener clock. You'll use it year-round. It makes a great Christmas gift. $50, that's what you're shooting for, the letter. But if you only got $5 or $10, we'll take that as well. 961-8900, 961-8900. Chris and Rob on WAIF.
What does public radio mean to you? Do you listen to public radio? Do you listen to WAIF? I don't mean just on Tuesdays, but do you listen the rest of the week? Do you listen to the reggae show and the jazz show?
Public radio is my madness.
WAIF has some of the best jazz programming in the history of music. I'm talking about the guys on Tuesday night at midnight, the Outside Inside Jazz Show. I'm talking about Mike Bedford. I'm talking about Congo Square. All the Sunday night jazz that WAIF offers. Even if you're not a jazz aficionado, you've got to appreciate the fact that there's no other radio stations in Cincinnati having playing jazz anymore. It's been 5 or 6 years since they took the last jazz station off the air. The only place you're going to hear jazz in the Queen City is right here on WAIF. I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but I'm sure it means something to you that, A, you're not hearing any commercials tonight, and B, there's no playlist. There's no corporate oversight telling us what we can say or do or present to you on the radio. Mm-hmm. So if you appreciate all this and you appreciate the fact that it's free and you don't have to listen to any commercials for any storm windows or carpeting or any of that stuff, then call now and please pledge your support to public radio so that we may continue to do this and feed the electric meter here at the station to keep the transmitter humming. And boy, is it humming. 513-749-1444 is the phone number to call. Or if it's busy, try 513-961-8900. But whatever number you call. And please pledge your support to public radio. 961-8900 or 513-749-1444.
I'd like to share my recipe for Rob's pimp juice at this time.
Can we finish talking about the pledge first? If you want to hear the recipe for Rob's Pimp Juice, light those phones up at 513-749-1444.
Go ahead, talk about the pledge drive some more.
Chris. Well, I'm just saying, without the support of the listeners, we're not able to give out the recipe for Rob's Pimp Juice or talk about Bigfoot or anything else. So please call 513-749-1444 or try 513-961-8900 and talk to one of our operators about all the exciting pledge premium levels we have. $25 donation will send you the WAIF pen. A $50 donation has the letter opener clock. You got to see it to believe it. $75 pledge has the Wave coffee mug. $125 pledge gets you the WAIF Deluxe tote bag.
Deluxe!
And there's other exciting pledge premium levels as well. So please call now, 513-961-8900. Or if it's busy, try 513-749-1444. And call now. Before we get to the recipe for Rob's Pimp Juice.
Also, your Kroger story.
Huh?
Your Kroger story.
We'll get to that later.
That's what I'm saying. We only got 16 minutes left, plus more Yasser Arafat's greatest hits.
Okay, well, here's some music for Rob's Pimp Juice recipe. Okay?
All right. We'll see what happens.
If the CD
it's kind of short, you know.
What, your recipe?
Yeah, it's not like those in the Pimp Juice.
And here's Rob with his recipe for Pimp Juice.
All right. You get a large pitcher.
Okay, large pitcher.
Large pitcher.
Like Gaylord Perry?
Large pitcher. 3 tablespoons of Tang.
You like orange Tang?
Yes.
Or grape Tang?
There's only one Tang, dude.
There's orange Tang, there's grape Tang, and there's prune Tang.
It's only orange Tang.
Not prune?
And not prune Tang. The tablespoon.
You know, I like to get up in the morning and have me a glass of prune Tang.
I know you like it. Nothing starts your day like some prune Tang.
Yeah, I lick it all up.
3 tablespoons of Tang. Orange Tang.
Got your orange Tang.
4 packs of red Kool-Aid. The juice from 2 kiwis. 1/5 of Dark Eyes vodka. The zest from 1 lemon. 8 ounces of granulated sugar. Mix well. Serve.
Okay.
Garnish with a sword-shaped swizzle stick and a Wonder Bra.
Okay.
That's my pimp juice.
That's it?
What else do you want?
I thought you were going to I thought there was going to be something to it.
3 tablespoons Tang, 4 packs red Kool-Aid, the juice from 2 kiwis, 1/5 dark eyes vodka, the zest from 1 lemon, 8 ounces of granulated sugar. What else do you want?
The hell are you talking about? Is this a drink?
That's Rob's pimp juice.
That's stupid.
What's stupid about it? I mean, there's people at home who want to make pimp juice, and now I'm teaching them how.
In case you
go to the store and pay big money for pimp juice when you can make it at home yourself at a fraction of the cost?
You're stupid. All right, we're gonna make another phone call here. We're gonna call Bigfoot again.
Can I get you some more pimp juice?
In case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF.
When you buy pimp juice at a store, you don't know what's in it.
Shut up, Rob.
There's preservatives.
Shut up.
This is all natural.
This is serious. Now hold on.
Pimp juice.
This is serious. What we're gonna do next? We did this a minute ago. We called the Nashville Bigfoot. So, see, we were talking to a Bigfoot researcher for the last hour and a half, and we talked all about Bigfoot.
See, Bigfoot is his madness.
And where you can find Bigfoot and how to find him in the woods. So we decided we'd call him up, and we got a couple phone numbers here that we were told on good authority will reach Bigfoot. So we're going to call Bigfoot.
We're going to call Bigfoot.
And find out what he likes to eat and how tall he really is and how big his feet really are.
What size shoe he would wear if he was playing, you know, football or basketball or something.
Okay, the phone's ringing at Bigfoot's.
If he's dancing.
Yeah. It's Chris and Rob Show. WAIF.
Dude, this is natural pimp juice.
Shut up.
This way you know what you're giving your kids.
What's Bigfoot if he ever had any pimp juice?
When you buy pimp juice in a store, you don't want to get it.
Bigfoot 24, it's Randy.
Is this Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Hey, Bigfoot, how tall are you?
Pardon?
Do you have any pimp juice?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, sir.
Hey, Bigfoot.
Yeah,
how tall are you?
At least 9 foot.
All right, and how much is a pack of smokes, Marlboros?
Marlboros, $3.43.
$3.43. Do you have any pimp juice?
Say what?
Pimp juice. Do you sell pimp juice at the Bigfoot?
Hang on a second. My ice machine's running. I can barely hear you. Try again.
Are you making ice?
You need to go catch it then.
Right, yeah.
How much do you weigh, Bigfoot?
750 pounds.
9 feet, 750 pounds. You're on the large side, then. And what's your shoe size? How big is Bigfoot's feet?
72 inches.
What?
That's a big
one. Water skis, man.
And what's the big seller there at the Bigfoot tonight?
The big seller?
Yeah, what are you selling a lot of?
Nothing.
When the boss comes in the morning, he's going to say, oh, Randy did a good job pushing the...
Absolutely nothing tonight. We're pretty slow.
Tuesday night?
Coffee.
Did Bigfoot, is Bigfoot a Republican or a Democrat?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I think he's an independent.
Yeah?
I think Bigfoot's independent, too. He's not going to be pushed around.
I just wondered if Bigfoot voted for Kerry or voted for Bush.
I don't know. I don't think he had his voter registration card, man.
So how are things in Columbus, Indiana tonight?
Doing good.
Do you guys have a big giant rock in front of your Bigfoot?
No, not this one.
Does John Mellencamp come in very often?
Here?
Yeah.
No.
He lives nearby.
Yeah, he lives on 46, just over by Bloomington.
You know, I heard they were going to change that song. You know, he goes, sucking on chili dogs behind the Tasty Freeze. Well, they were going to change it to sucking on chili dogs behind the Bigfoot in Columbus.
Wouldn't doubt it a bit.
Because he's probably out back right now sucking on a chili dog.
Wouldn't doubt it a bit.
Now, as a Bigfoot, do you appreciate the unique architecture featured in Columbus, Indiana?
Man, I grew up here. I'm used to it. I'm kind of numb to it. None of it's really special to me.
Why? Well, you mean there's only like 55,000 people in Columbus, Indiana, but you've had world-famous architects come over and design a big parts of the downtown. So for somebody out of town, you're just thinking, oh, it's another small Indiana town. And you go, wow, look at that building.
Yeah. To people that don't live here, I mean, there's all kinds of strange buildings around here. But like I said, it's like the mountains. If you grow up in the view of them, you kind of get numb to their, you know what I mean?
What's a Bigfoot do for fun in Columbus?
For fun in Columbus? Geez.
Do you smoke?
At this hour of the night, nothing.
Man, well, it's not even 11. It's barely 11 o'clock there, is it?
Yeah, it's 12 o'clock.
Oh, okay. You're on.
Well, it's actually 10 to 12, but honest to goodness, man, most of the bars are closed by 2 o'clock.
Yeah, by 2?
We do have a titty bar.
You, Well, you got 2 hours to go drinking. And in my guess is you probably got some lovely ladies in Columbus ready to show Bigfoot their talent.
It's entirely possible.
Will you be heading over there, Randy?
What's that?
Are you Randy?
Yeah.
Will you be heading over there?
Where's that?
To the bar?
No, I work all night, man.
How late you getting off?
6 a.m.
What time do the girls get off?
At night?
Yeah.
Usually the bars close around 2 or 2:30, man.
Even the nudie bars?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah, they all have to close right around the same time.
Is this one of those bars that sells booze, or do you got to bring your own booze in?
No, yeah, they sell beer. Yeah. Everything. They got drinks, food, women.
How much is it to get in?
Don't know.
Like you don't
know. I don't know what the cover charge.
Oh, come on, Randy. Your wife isn't listening, dude. Don't worry about it.
No, well, it kind of makes a difference if you're diabetic and you can't drink.
Speaking of diabetics, you guys have some of those King Dongs there at the Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Now, if there's a king of the dongs, what's he the king of? If he's a king dong, what's he the king of? Is he the king of dongs?
I'm not the king of anything, bud.
Dude, if you're diabetic and you can't drink, that means you got more money to spend on the ladies.
Yeah.
And weed.
Because you know what? Lap dances don't have no sugar.
Well, they do if they're good.
Ooh, come on, get a little cheese. Anyway, Randy at Bigfoot, you've been a fantastic Bigfoot, and you're our Bigfoot of the night.
All right.
Now, you know, you call some of these Bigfoots and you say, hey, how big are your feet or how tall are you? They just hang up on you.
Oh, I know it.
That's not cool.
You got to have a little sense of humor to work in a place like this.
Damn straight. Now, do you work every Tuesday night there, Randy?
Pardon me?
You work every Tuesday night?
No, not usually. My schedule varies. I work for myself at home besides here.
Well, what's your home job?
Huh?
What are you selling out of your house?
My neighbor and I have a sharpening business, and I make wood products for a guy out of Tennessee.
A sharpening business, and you make wood pipes for smoking dope?
No, wood products.
Wood products?
Yeah.
What kind of wood products?
Well, he makes outdoor lawn furniture and outdoor figurines and stuff, and I make parts for him.
Lawn jockeys? You guys make lawn jockeys?
No. Actually, they're like outdoor furniture, like swings.
Dude, I'd love to get a good Adirondack chair. Do you guys do any Adirondack chairs?
You mean like the wood peg and holding peg chairs?
Yeah. You know,
the
like
you're
kind of like 3/4 laying down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've never made any of those.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Randy, go ahead and stay out of the booby bars. You're doing yourself good by staying out of there. Those just a waste of money. And those girls don't really like you. They're just pretending.
Yeah, that's about true.
All right, Randy. You're the Bigfoot of the night.
Hope you guys find some fun anyways.
We're looking for Bigfoot. Do you ever seen him?
No, never have.
How
present... My wife almost qualified as that, so
look,
you know,
at
hey.
How present is the Bigfoot in your advertising campaign?
How what?
How present is Big... I mean, do you have, like, cartoon Bigfoot running around your commercials and stuff?
Not as much anymore. We had a Canadian company buy us out middle of last year.
Uh-oh.
And their logo is actually a hoot owl, but it's kind of like a partnership. We're the Bigfoot is the American version of Max convenience stores. It's a big mess.
Yeah, we ran into Max a while ago. Yeah, you know all that hoot owl stuff. People coming in for chicken wings and girls in tight T-shirts. And then they'll be very disappointed when Randy is standing there with a
pack of King Dongs and some smokes.
in a whittling knife in his hand.
Well, you know, some nights are better than others.
I guess so. All right, tell those Canadians to mind their own business.
I would like to.
Keep it as Bigfoot and keep the Bigfoot on the cups and keep the Bigfoot on the signs.
Now, we used to be locally owned. Our Bigfoot's still on the sign. It's a Max convenience store.
That's sad.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. What's this world coming to? First that and then the George Bush and everything? It's crazy.
It's no good, man.
All right there, Randy. Have a good night.
Well, you guys too, man.
Keep all your fingers, dude.
All righty.
All right.
Bye.
It's Randy.
Told you we were going to call Bigfoot.
He's heading right to the titty bar.
All right. It's 7 minutes until 12. What do we do next?
He's fooling nobody.
Hey, next week on the Chris and Rob Show, Bob Woodowis is going to be
speaking
here.
Of working with wood.
Yeah, Bob Woodowis. Now, who is Bob Woodowis?
He's a local author, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the insights into a dangerous brain. They're Confessions of a Life of Unease.
Something like that.
Yeah, his name. He's got a new book out, and we're going to talk advertising, and we're going to talk about his new book. And he's one of our favorite people in Cincinnati. He was on the show, 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Back in the 50s.
And he used to write pseudo-quasi-esque for the City Beat magazine. He still does it occasionally. Bob Woodowis, I'm sure you're familiar with his work. And he'll be in here next week on the Chris and Rob Show. And I think we got a little Bob Woodowis to whet your appetite in the perhaps more Yasser Arafat. And then some Inside Outside Jazz Show. It's a big night at WAIF Cincinnati.